starting the top of Membov and Medalas. Rabbi Lezer has the unusual opinion of Amar Ein Lo Shmir Al Sakin. The only way to guard an ox, to take care of an ox, is to kill it. So Amar Rabbi, my time with Rabbi Lezer. What's the reason behind Rabbi Lezer? The Amar Kra the Lo Yishmerenu. Right. So the pasuk by Muad says Lo Yishmerenu Balav. So not indicating Lo Yishmerenu Balav is the reason that the it is considered a Muad, or that you have to pay here because of the lack of Shmirah, but rather Lo Yishmerenu Balav is that it is impossible for the Balim to watch it. Shuvein Lo Shmirah, this animal no longer has the ability to be watched once it is a Muad.
It's not watchable.
Amalei Abayi, Elei Me'ata, Dechtiv Lo Yichasenu Nami. So what are you going to say now by a boar? It says that you dig a boar and you do not cover it. So that's Shuvein Lo Kisu, listen. So you can't, you're unable to cover a boar. Maybe it's true. Maybe you can never protect against the takala, right, against this problem of boar and shuta rabim, even when you cover it. But hatnan, we have an explicit mission that says kisel karaoi, and I follow to choshor or chamor meis patur. He covered it appropriately. If he put the proper protections against people falling into the boar, he's not held culpable in that instance. So we don't see such a concept by boar that you cannot do it. Ella Amar Abayi, the reasoning must be Hainu Time to Belazar Ketanyo. The reason is like a bright like Rabinatan Omer, Minai Shle Gadel Adam, Kelev Ra Betoch Veto. Yaya Mitzkubam Ra'ua Betoch Veto. Why should a person be try to make sure that they do not have problematic things in their house, like a bad dog and a weak ladder, things that could cause others to be injured or even unknowingly be hurt by items that you have to protect against others being injured by your property. It says, right, that you have to protect against there being damim in beitecha. And therefore the same thing, or you have to understand now, based on Abayi, what Rabbi Lezer means is that a shor muad, right, is something that is likely to cause injury, likely to cause a problem. And therefore, and the only way to protect against such a problem is to get rid of it. I mean that a shor muad is not something that is can be watched. Even if it can be watched, it's something that will likely cause damage or likely cause injury, and therefore it should be those same that maybe you got to get rid of such an item.
How does he feel that he could go ahead and extend his iser to that?
Right, it's not such a straightforward connection. Although the Gemara sees it as a shor muad. I don't think we think of shor muad, I bounce around being a tom to a muad, muad to tom. I'm assuming shor muad was something that once an animal reached that status of shor muad, it was not easy to get back to a tom, and it probably was very hard to control such an animal once it reached the shor muad. I think we think of it as a, you know, just okay, it's a shor muad, it's a shor muad. But you think about a wild dog, right, and a dog that's uncontrollable or bites people when it come in. I mean, you would feel the same way about that and say, oh, how can we suggest that it needs to work? So I think that shor muad must fall into that category. If the animal requires such attention and such a, and nobody's going to give it in the end, always mistakes happen. Tosfos was asked about boar in the end. Now that we switched answers, what happens to boar? Right, does boar now fall into the same category as shor? And that it is, there's an isur, like this, let's assume that maybe that's the idea that when you dig a boar, b'shuta rabim, even though if you cover it properly, there still could be such a takala, I mean that it just, it's not a good thing to have potholes in the middle of b'shuta rabim. Or do we say that there really is a distinction between shor and boar that exists or persists through the answer of the Gemara? So it brings both possibilities to cover. So that, tema, high time, nami lo tizke boar b'kisui mishim rabi nathan. I'd say a boar is not sufficient with a cover because of Rabbi Natan, right? That there's a likelihood of damage coming here. It's not, it's just not a good thing to have pits sitting around in the Shuddha Rabin. There's some more. So one possibility is the boar lays a concept fei. Shemukateo karoi mishor nakhan, which is what Shaul is suggesting, I think, part of your solution, that it's different. To control a shore is very difficult. To cover a boar, even if you cover it well, is a little more reasonable or easier to come around to. Right? Baharaya, that they put big metal coverings over construction sites and should the rim have cars drive over them. The other possibilities are that it says that tashlumim kamar. In the beginning when we thought Rabbi Lezer was talking about tashlumim, right, then we said maybe there's a distinction. Lav leinyan teshlumi ari, el lagabi isur ba'alma, the asur lekaimo. Ve'ika the meimar, the gabi bor, nam ika. If by bor, there'll be the same problem of a motish, im she'amro, shmir mulo, ve'hitik patur. Right, so that there might be a distinction between your culpability when it comes to others versus your violation of the Easter of Rabbi Natan. That might be that if you do a Shmir Ma'ula, especially by a boar, that might be sufficient, and if that's sufficient, you'll be patur. But on the other hand, you still might be in violation of the Easter of Rabbi Natan, which is, these are takalot that you shouldn't be creating, that you are allowing for the possibility, or opening the possibility that you're going to injure others. And that's something that you need to take extra precaution or extra measures to ensure that it doesn't happen. And therefore, even though you're patur from Teshlumim, nevertheless, you're still being in violation of the Isur of Rabbi Natan. So Tosfos gives both possibilities according to the answer. One is that Bor and Shor remain different. The other possibility is that Bor and Shor are the same in the sense that they both are a violation of the Isur, even though you could protect, by Bor, you can protect yourself against culpability by doing a Shmira Meulah.
And Bor has the advantage of also the suspicion. It's easier to do a
Shmira
Meulah
before,
you know where it is.
It's inanimate.
Right. I mean, from the one perspective, it's true, and the other perspective, it's in Rishit HaRabim, which is a much more difficult situation, because you have to, people are always moving on it, walking on it, and knocking it around. So, you're both. And remember, boar is not only a boar like in a pit, but it could be an object up in the Rishit HaRabim. You stick a big, pile of something in the Rishit HaRabim, that's also a boar. Put a bunch of banana peels in the Rishit HaRabim. That's a boar. So there are ways to, create a boar which can be the likelihood of damage. All right, new parak. Shorsh nagacha tapara v'nimsa ubra b'tzida. So a shor gores a para and it miscarries. Right, nivra b'tzavenu da yadua im achlo nakayoda. Did it give birth and then it killed the shor and the baby died of its own natural causes? Or because it gored, it miscarried, and the baby was born. So what are you? Are you chayav for the shur? For sure, because you did the goring. The question is regarding the vlad, right? What's your status? The shur status regarding the vlad. So mashalalim chati nezek the para. So you pay half the nezek of the para, which because it's a tam here, a short tam, the damage to the para. So chati nezek virvi a nezek the vlad. And you pay a quarter of the nezek of the vlad. And why? Because if we knew for certain that you had damaged the blood, it would be chatzi nezek. On the other hand, here we are uncertain, and this is like Sumchus, who says mamon amutal b'safek cholkim. We split it. So if you split the difference, you take a half nezek, you split it in half. Each of you pay, you pay a quarter, and the balim are out a quarter. V'chein parash nachat ashur. What about the other way around? The para, the damage to the shore. V'nimsa v'lada b'tzida. And then there's a baby next to the shore. V'yadu imachlo nachayoda. Or, so we don't know that before it did the goring, it gave birth. Or, or after it did the goring, it gave birth. Right? Mishtalim, chati nezek min hapara. Para's on the hook for half the nezek. Revi nezek min hablad. And the blood on the hook for a quarter nezek. And the Gemara will discuss this, about what exactly this means. Right? Amar, zu divrei sumchus, as we identified quickly, this is sumchus got to be the author of this Mishnah. Amar momen amutal b'tzvei cholkim. Chamim omrim zeh klal gadol. We have a big principle, but then amotzi mechavero labarayo. If you want to extract money from anybody, the burden of proof lies on the individual who's trying to change the status quo. So lamali the meimar zeh klal gadol b'din. Why do I say zeh klal gadol is a great sin? It's true. Da'afilu nizak omer bari umazik omer shema. Even if the nizak makes a bari claim and the mazik says shema. There is still a obligation, a burden of proof that lies with the one who's trying to change the status quo. And despite the fact that he has a bari claim, Tosfos jumps over here again and says, whoa, that's not so true. We have bari and shema in other places, right? And bari and shema causes all sorts of things to happen. And it isn't necessarily limited by amotzi mechavero l'avaraya. So that we said before, Tosfos answered this earlier in the Gemara in the last parak, and we said, I'll say it again now, but there are different levels of Bari and Shema. Bari and Shema can manifest themselves in different ways. You can have a Bari, which is a strong Bari, and a Shema, which is a poor Shema. Again, like someone lends money. Reuven lends money to Shimon. Reuven comes along and says, you owe me 100, he makes a Bari claim, you owe me 100 shekel. And then Shimon says, I don't know. In that case, the Bari is a strong Bari, because Shimon could have responded to the claim of Reuven, number one. And the second thing is he should have known whether he borrowed money or not from Reuven. When he says, I don't know, that weakens his claim. From both perspectives, it varies better. Whereas, in our case, for instance, in other cases...
What's the case where the Nizak says Bari and the Mazik says Shema?
It says that definitely the baby was born before it did damage.
Who? The Nizak?
The Mazik. The Mazik says that the baby was definitely born before...
No, Mazik or Shema?
Right, the case can look to be the other way around. It doesn't, our mission gives both cases. One case where the para did it with the blood in it, and a case where the para was damaged with the blood in it. Either way, you can have the mazik with the nizak making a bari claim that the, either the baby was born before, baby born afterwards. It doesn't, you can have it either way, make a bari claim. But here, the bari is a weak bari. Why is it a weak bari over here? Because he says, I know for sure the baby was born before the shore came and gored it. Now, first of all, what type of response can the Isaac have? He says, any of that. Any of that is because he wasn't there. He has no clue what happened. Because first of all, the Shema, he's entitled to say Shema here. The respondent can say Shema because it's true. He doesn't know. And he shouldn't have known because he wasn't there. Then the claim of the Bari claim by the other individual, here some says the Shema is a much weaker Shema. The Shema is not an indication that the strength is the Bari, number one. And number two is the Bari itself is somewhat of a weaker claim. Why? Because he knows the other respondent can't say anything. I mean, as soon as he makes a bari claim, what are you going to say? He knows that the other party can't argue with him because he didn't know. And so then, of course, he's going to make a bari claim because it only is to his advantage to do that when nobody can deny your claim.
Well, that's just going to lie.
Right. But that's, right. The general assumption is that, you know, the whole idea of a bari is that, again, that a bari only works like amigo in a sense. That a bari works because it's only a good bari because I know that that someone could respond to my bari. So when I make a bari claim, I'm not lying. Why? Because if I knew the respondent was going to come and say no, I wouldn't lie. So therefore, that makes my bari better. Over here, when he makes the bari claim, he doesn't have that kind of ego, which is that he can say, oh, well, if the other guy might come and say something. Well, the other guy can't say anything. Then your bari claim is not a great bari claim. That's supposed to make the distinction we thought earlier. Make the same distinction over here that why Mutzi Mechaber Lagari still applies by Bari Shema, even though in other instances we don't see that. See that Bari and Shema are good, that Bari is a good claim, and that we would go with the indications of what the Bari claim was. Alright, now, the Gemara says, so now why is this, why do we have a cloud, a cloud gadol? So one part as we said is even though there's a Bari and a Shema, you still have Mutzi Mechaber Lagari, Inami L'chi Haditmar. Right, it goes like the one that says like this: Hamocher Shor Lechaveru, Benimsa Nagzan. The person sells the shore to his friend, and he finds out that it is a wild shore afterwards. Rav Amar Harizim Mekachtaut. This is a problematic sale. There's a mistake in the sale, and you can reverse the sale. Shmuel Amar Yechol Shiamar Lo Shlishkita Mekarti Lechav. He says, I sold this to you for meat. I didn't think you were planning on keeping it around. Right, so what's the problem with the sale? I sold you a good piece of meat here. So So let's look at the buyer. What he typically buys? Does he buy for plowing, or does he buy for meat? Like, what's his status, or what's his normal buying habits? Well, three o'clock, Igavra the zavin la'avah, that he has needs in both areas. He needs meat. He also has a field. He needs shvarim, so he can't indicate for them. And next day, he needs to make rizio the rizio. Right. So if you are, he pays the amount of money that goes for a plowing shore, which is higher value. He's made nixata, and nixata, he pays lower value than he's paying for meat. I mean, that people will pay less for a shore that they're going to ship than a shore they're going to keep around. So that the meat, the value of meat went up so much, there was such a shortage of meat, that they were an equal value at this point. You can't, there was an unable to make determination from the money, whether it was a shore for shkita or a shore for plowing. Right, so wait a minute. What's Rav's position? Rav's position is that it's a mechach ta'ut. The mechach ta'ut, what are the two possibilities? The possibility is you try to take the money back, right, from the owner, or you keep the shore that you have because that's worth the money that he has right now. So Rav says, what are you going to do? If he's unable to pay now the mocher to replace it, then what are you going to do? Lishkalei the Torah is it. He'll end up keeping the shore for the money. So why should he even give the shore back to get his money back? In the end, right, if he has no other money, the seller, he can leave the shore there, and the shore will be replacement or compensation for the mekach ta'ut. It says, the Amre Inche, mi mare rash batach, pare yafra. It says, whenever it comes to your debtors, Whatever they give you, take. Right? So, if that's the case over here, you have a shore in your hands from this guy, but you're going to hand it back and try to get money and extract money from it, it's not worth it. Just keep what you have and be done.
What? If you have a bull, a dangerous bull, well, you don't want to get that to make sure you
have it. He can go to the shuk and sell it.
He doesn't want to run again around.
Alright, so we'll see in a second. We've seen this in Subos and other places, but it tells us that it says what's your ability to take compensation with different things as well. He has the ability to pay it off, and therefore we're not talking about a case where the mocher has no money, and therefore the only thing he can take is the shore anyway. But no, he has other money, and you'd rather get your money back, like some interesting thing, than hold on to this shore. The Tosfos makes Rabbeinu Tam, makes this distinction that we've seen in other places. Rabbeinu Tam ranks three different types of payments that you can make, and what you're entitled to pay. Right? It's a title, we have Nizakin, Balei Chov, right? And third one is for Sakhar Sakhir, for compensation for workers. So if you look in here, Rabbeinu Tam looks right across from where we're on the Gemara. Mamash, right across from the right, makes it to the right side, Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Sheh Gimel Danim, the Baal Chov, Unizakin, Unizakir. The Baal Chov, he eats Le Zuzay, Lomatis Luke, Bishar Mile. A Baal Chov, a debtor, if he has money, he's got to pay with money. He does not have the ability, right, to pay off with anything else, because that's what you borrow, to defraud you. He doesn't have money, he can't say to the guy, go and sell it and bring me money. It proves over here that if he doesn't have money, you can't say to him, go sell it and bring me cash. So if he has cash in hand, he's got to pay with cash. If he does not have cash in hand, he can hand you whatever it is that you're entitled to get paid in equivalent value, and you can't say back to him, go monetize that. No, the creditor will have to monetize that, and we see that one, number one from our Gemara right here, which says whatever your debtor has, you take, because you want to have it in hand, you don't let him stay with it. And number two, we've seen in other places that we don't have that concept that you can make a demand to be paid in cash when the person does not have cash. That's one din. Right now, the next din is Benizakim. Afilu isle zuze matzavisuke ba'arel raguna. According to Rav Huna, that says the definition of the word metav. This has to do with what we saw earlier in the Masechta, which is, what is the definition of metav? Tzadeu, metav, karmo, yishalim. Does that mean that karka actually is the best way to pay, or karka is equivalent to cash? Or do we say metav means everything, afilu subin? And depending on your definition of metav, nizakin will be payable in those forms. So that's it. So in the nizakin, afilu ilay zuze, if you have cash, you can pay him out. According to Rav Huna, it says Meitav Karmo, Meitav Tzedeo is the best way to pay. Be'amar Be'arkama, O Kesef, O Meitav. You have the ability to pay off in Ara or Kesef. Be'rapapa, Rav Huna, Breder, Mishua, Komile Meitavu. They said Meitav includes anything. So according to them, Nizakin can be paid off in any value. You don't have a priority to get paid in cash. U'bisakir, when you're paying a worker, Afilu Leitle Zuzay, if you don't have money, I'm reading Leit Ziltarap Aite Zuzay. We say to the person owns the money, go get cash. The guy we pull along reading Memarius Vitach Payra. We don't have this concept that when it comes to a owner paying his workers, that take whatever you can get. We don't have that case. By a creditor or a debtor, we do have that concept. We don't have it by a sakhir. Therefore, you have three dinim. The dinim is by the sakhir has the best situation, which is he must be paid in cash. If you don't have cash, you've got to monetize and bring the cash to him. We have the in-between case, which is about Bachol. Bachol is entitled to cash if it's available. If it's not available, then you take from whatever he has and he can give you, and you have to, the creditor has to monetize it. Nizakin is the easiest form, depending on what you think Meitav is. If you think Meitav means just karka, then you can pay him in cash or karka, either one. Or if you think Meitav means everything, then you can pay him anything you want, and you don't have to give him cash. Here it's about Bachol. So if he had nothing else, you would have to take the shore as payment. If you have something else, and that's what the Gemara's answer is, then you have to pay in cash. And that's what the Gemara's answer is. So the conditional may mean that he has the ability to pay in cash. Now, Rav, Amar Zeh Mechaftau Zitabat Aruba. Rav says, why? Because what is the robe people buy? It's a Mechaftau, so what do most people do? Robe the Inche, the Rijo, who does Zavne. People, when they buy for plowing. They don't go and buy to shech the meat. Right? I can say, it doesn't matter about the robe, but I sold it to you for a shkita. We don't go after, we ignore the robe. Why? When do we go after the robe? That is when we're talking about Easter. When it comes to mamona, there is no concept called robe. that if you, right, if you come to Easter, we look at the robe, and robe can determine what the status of an object is. When it comes to Mammon, every case is an individual case, and we don't look at the way the robe can conduct themselves. Now, when we say that we don't look at the robe conduct themselves, that's assuming that there's no overwhelming evidence in that case, like we said before. If he sold it, right, with a certain amount of money, and it was clear that the monetary differential between shechita and plowing, then that would be evidence to the contrary, and independent, I mean, even though that's the robe, but the money is indicating to us that we go with the robe over here. Also, if we say this guy only buys for shechita, right, again, then you can...
Or his private children along with him.
Right, yeah, so there are other things that can indicate...
I want my focus to happen at this stage.
Right, it does present problems. I'll tell you that, I'll tell you, Sherry's in a second, that it does present a big problem in terms of Beis Din. We did, before, if you remember, we did narrow down. Tosfos asked a question about this machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, that generally by Mammon we go Batar Ruba Azlina. So the Gemara says, the Rav and Shmuel, the Rav says Batar Ruba Azlina, and Shmuel says Lo Batar Ruba. Then earlier in the Gemara we said that in the beginning of Meniach Kad, where we talked about how when he sells a Kad or a Chavit, right, the Schora, that you can determine, the Gemara there asked the same question. Can't you determine by how much money that he bought, whether he bought a barrel or he bought a pitcher? And the Gemara also asks, well, look at what Ruba the Olam does. And over there, the Gemara answers up that, oh wait, it's okay that at the beginning of a Miniyach, we go after, right, Ruba, say, ain't Olam by Mammon after Rov. By Mammon, we don't go after Rov, the Gemara concludes. Tosfos says over there that even according to Rav. Right, so Tosfos narrows down their machlokes, and does not say it applies in all instances. Now we've already discussed
what's the
distinction? Very good. So what's the distinction? The distinction has to be with, or the distinction is when, who is making the claim, who's making the definitive claim. Now, you cannot, and this is what those distinctions over here, you cannot make a claim for someone else, which is that in our case, the seller is saying, you bought it to Shech. So when the seller is saying about the buyer, you bought it to Shech, right, then he can't make such a claim because he is trying to indicate or tell me what I was thinking at the time of buying. In that case, you have a machlokes between Shmuel and Rav, whether Olam Kamakarov. The case of Meniach Kad, the claim over there, the way Tosfos sets up the claim over there, is the individual himself says, I bought, when you gave me the money, I assumed, right, I only sell Kad, or I only sell Chavit. I think the word Kad means Chavit, or I think the word Chavit means Kad. Either way. But I'm making a statement about myself and the way I think. So Tosfos said, right, exactly, very good. Speak for yourself, that's what Tosfos distinguished over there. So when I'm speaking about someone else is what I say they are doing or they are thinking, in that case it's machlokes between Shmuel and Rav, whether we go off our rope or not. When it comes to me making a statement about myself, I can make statements about myself, and therefore there is no issue of opening up our rope. I can make a definitive statement, and if the rope is irrelevant, because I can say how I feel or how I think. And nobody else can make a claim otherwise.
So again, if the seller here has a big sign on his pen, oxen for plowing.
Right. Someone would agree there that there's no case anymore. Right. There's no case. Because, again, like we said before, if the money indicates, if the normal buying patterns are like this, that those are types of indications where you can't make a claim against. You have to make a statement to undo such a normal circumstance. You come to there and he's buying from you, in a sense, you know, oxen for buying for sale, then you have to make a clear indication that you're doing otherwise. That's it. Now, the other question with three is a big question Tosfos asks in other places, which is, then, how does Beis Din ever paskin? How do we paskin in a Beis Din? How do we paskin when it comes to Beis Din? They rule on a subject, we go, okay, makar, harov. So when it comes to Easter, now basically make a psakal uptel, we say we go after the rove. We're into Shmuel. Beis Din paskin when it comes to Momo. How do you say, Hokim Afar Arov? We say, Ain Hokim B'Mamon Afar Arov. Can't go after the Rove and Mamon, yet we have Beis Din will make a determination based on, say there's three, Beis Din 3, 2 against 1, the level goes like the Rove. So how can we say
that? No, it's not. Doesn't refer to the judges of Bali. It refers to the case.
That is not answer this, but I think you could make such a distinction, which is, the Hokim Afar Arov here is when we're trying to determine what the normal course of events are when people exchange or interact. That's the type of role which is trying to be koveya in a sense of mitzius of sorts. Like you or all of you are saying correctly, which is when you come to a psakalokha, you're talking about chara rove, we're not trying to determine what all people think or way people think. That's the way the determination of a psakalokha works. That's the function of a psakalokha, irrespective of mamo and Yitzhar. The Torah gave us a framework of how courts work, and that's it. Tosfos gives a different answer. Tosfos says that when it comes to rove by Beis Din, it's ki'ilu amiyus doesn't exist. So that's it. Right. When you say robe, right, exactly. Very good. By robe and miyot, you could say that the robe is koveya, even though the miyot exists. Or you can say when you have a robe and a miyot, that becomes 100%. The robe is koveya to the point where the miyot is not there anymore. And that's what it says by Beis Din when they come to Pesach Halacha. Okay, both of these will narrow down the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel and make it less expansive. Even though it still is, it's a big machlokes, but it's still, if you, you know, take away the extremes, then you start to get a much narrower machlokes. Here the Chachamim are making an explicit statement that they disagree with our Mishnah, and that our Mishnah, or the case in our Mishnah, is Dibrei Tumchus, which is Mamon Ha Mutal B'Tzafik. What's the source for that? Shneamar, actually, next week's parsha, says that when Moshe goes up to Har Sinai, he leaves behind Aaron and Hur, and he says, whatever, never meet Baal Devarim, right, Yagishalayim. Right, so whoever has any court issues has to bring them forward to, right, Hur and Aaron. Yagish Rayalayim. He has to bring proof to them. I mean, that he has to bring evidence that he is, right, that he is entitled to change the status quo. So that's the source of the Muslim Kaver Levi. Matthew Clever Vashi. How long the crop? What do I need a book for? Sparrow. Logical. The Kayiv Lake Eva, also the Beyatio. Right, someone who has a pain or something wrong with them, they go to the doctor. The Toto of here. The Toveyer, someone has a claim, it's got to go to Basin. Now, I don't think the Sparrow is as strong as the Potuk for one reason, which is that you're right, that the Toveya, when you have a pain or you have a cause, you go to the doctor to see what's going on. Same thing, if you're a Toveya, if you're a claimant, you're going to be the first one to go to Beis Din, right, to
open the teak.
To open up the case.
That's all.
That doesn't prove necessarily that you bring a riot. What I think you have to say, or in some way you're going to have to explain, is that when you go to the doctor, you have to lay out the symptoms to the doctor for in order for him to treat you. So that is the same case over here. When you go to the survey, you have to lay out your claims. I mean, you have to lay out your rayot for Beis Din to be nitzkach to you. I think that's how you have to read the comparison. Ella, kra. So what are you going to do with the pasuk? The Rav Nachman, Damar Rabua, Damar Rav Nachman, Damar Rabua. Minayim sheni stokim el toveya chila. How do you know that we listen? Yet you have to have the claimant be treated first. Shemar mi b'avrim yagish alehem, yagish divarav alehem. He must approach first, or he has to make his claim first. So Amar Nardai, Pamim Shnitzkakim Lenitzvat Chila. Sometimes we deal with the defendant first. When his property is going down in value. So this is Rashi sets up the case, and Tosfos disagrees, but Rashi sets up the case here where Reuven and Shimon have a loan outstanding. Reuven lent money to Shimon. Reuven comes to court and says, "You owe me money, Shimon." So Shimon comes back and makes a counterclaim to him and says, "No, you know what? First of all, you owe me money. Also owe me money for something else, or you have a mashkon of mine, you have collateral, and you damage the collateral, and you use it, and you diminish the value of the collateral." So Shimon makes a counterclaim. So what did Rashi write? Said that we adjudicate the case of Reuven first, which is the claim against about the loan, and then only afterwards do we adjudicate the claim of the counterclaim of Shimon. That's what it means, that we listen to the Tovei Akhila, we adjudicate his case first, and then we listen to the Nitzbah, and we adjudicate his claim, which is a secondary or counterclaim to the first claim. And Rashi says the exception to that case will be what happens if people find out that Shimon's now under pressure to pay money, and he has to sell his land, and it's going to go down in value, or if he has to quickly, right, liquidate to pay off up there. Then over there, we'll be willing to deal with his counterclaim, because that will ease his ability to pay without having to have a fire sale on his property, because maybe he's right about the mashkon, maybe he's right about something else, and that would prevent him from having to do a fire sale. That's the way the Gemara reads according to Rashi. What's difficult in the Rashi's claim, and so it doesn't exactly address it, but the difficulty in Rashi's claim is that the counterclaim here is within the same case. Right? It's not that, you know, Reuven and Shimon's coming along, Reuven says, "Look, you owe me money," and Shimon says, "You know, we have a whole different issue between us, that you're short didn't necessary to my short, da 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 da." Right, then you say that, okay, maybe that's a totally different case. So say we deal with the first claim, and then we'll deal with the counterclaim. Over here, Shimon's counterclaim is within the case. He says, when you lent me money, you took a mashkon. When you did this, I retained a portion of it, I did something, and, you know, where's the mashkon? Or where you used the mashkon, you diminished the value. That counterclaim, even though it has some independence to the original claim, but it's really a part of the bigger case, and the judge should deal with the whole case as a single entity. Tosfos doesn't make exactly that distinction. Tosfos makes the distinction between Balei Chovot and Chavalot. By chavalot, Tosfos says that you deal with it right away. When it comes to a chovel, then the mazik and nizak, you say right away, the mazik must pay the nizak, and we don't say, oh, bring evidence to the contrary, you don't let him make other counterclaims. When it comes to a bachol, since basin by a bachol will entitle you 30 days to make payment, then Ein Hachanami will also give you time to make a counterclaim, we can adjudicate the other case in the meantime. So since you have a valid counterclaim, and you would have been given time anyway to pay, so in that time period, we allow you to make the counterclaim and adjudicate the counterclaim. So those tips, it really depends on whether you're talking about chavalot, you're talking about borrowing or chovot, whether we allow the counterclaim to be adjudicated right away, or we don't pay, and then we'll adjudicate the other claim. I think you could make even a greater distinction, which I'm sure, I think I'm sure the Rishonim would make such a distinction, is that if your case is totally independent of the case in hand, right? I mean, if you're dealing with two different claims that have nothing to do with each other, then we say, take the first claim, adjudicate it, and then we'll go to the second claim and adjudicate it. Just because you made a counterclaim doesn't mean we're going to enjoin the cases, right, and deal with both sides now with cases that have nothing to do with each other. On the other hand, if your counterclaim is within the current case, then we're going to look at the whole picture, right? Why do one part of the picture and then try to do the other picture? We'll look at the whole picture, and that'll be the distinction over here. All right. So we have the second half of the Mishnah, right, that says, Chatzi nezek v'rivia nezek. So you pay half nezek out of the shore, out of the para, and you pay a rivia nezek out of the vlad. So then, talganiz gaho to buy shumen. Right, he has to pay half nezek. Now, if you look at what the Mishnah says, right now, kuli nizka nachariva maya nite. Now you're dealing with a whole minus a quarter. He's paying three quarters. Take a half nezek plus a quarter nezek that's paid by the vlad. He's getting paid three quarters of the nezek. How come Yishun doesn't get paid more than half the nezek?
No, it isn't.
Right, a half plus a quarter and three quarters. Alright, so now they
put it all in the pot.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's, alright, I agree with you. When I respect that, I wouldn't have thought of this, but the Gemara says that if you learn Pashat Pshat and Mishnah, that's what the language means.
That's right,
everyone's
really asking
about
the language of the Mishnah.
Right, so Amar Abaye, Chatzi Nezek, Echad Mi Arba Nezek, Revi Nezek, Echad Mishmon Benezek. No, when it says Chatzi Nezek, it means one quarter, which means 25%, and Revi Nezek means Echad Mishmona, right, which means 12.5%. Or basically 3/8. Together they're going to pay 3/8 of the damage. Which just means that if I take, right, if I take the chatz nezek that I'm chayav here, I have to divide it up. Half of it is owed by the para, and half of it is owed by the vlad. Now the para has to pay.
They're not equal.
Okay, so I'll do that one second. Very good. So 20, again, if you have 100 shekel of damage, they are now together chayav for 50 shekel of damage.
Right, right.
They each are now on the hook for 25 shekel of damage. Which is 25%.
They may have been one body at the time.
Alright, give me a second. Alright, so they each are on the hook for 25%. I will explain it all. Now, if that's the case, when it comes to the param, there's no question they did damage. He has to pay the full 25 shekel that he owes, the full 25% he owes. When it comes to the vlad, he'll only pay for half of his 25%, which is 12.5%. That means that you will get 37.5% or 3/8 of the damage, not the full chatzi nezek based on it.
What is the vlad connection to the damage anyway, other than being a part of the...
No, it's possible, right, if he was part of the animal, then he's an extension of the animal. He also, the vlad was a part of the damaging object.
Like, what makes it 50% of the...
Okay, that, your question, and then David asked the same question, so that's your question, says, what type of balance is this? Why are they splitting it 50-50? There's no way that the para and the vlad have equal distribution of the nezek here. So Tosfos says that it's not, that the Gemara is not laying out the distribution of the nezek. You have to figure that out. 90-10, whatever it is. All the Gemara is doing is just laying you out the framework in which you would divide the nezek up. You have to determine in that 50% how much of the 50% one owes and how much the other owes. But once you have that framework, the vlad will only pay half of what he owes, and the para will pay the full amount. That's what Tosfos says. It's just an example here, not that this is literally the way you would divide it. Right, so if you eat part of the vlad, the chadinu. Right, so if the part of the vlad belongs to one person, alkanami, the matzimele, the bala para, mi manosha. Chadin is a kavli. He says, if the para and the vlad belong to one individual, he says, look, either way, you owe me the money. Right, you owe me that full half nezik, because either they were together, and you owe me because it was one unit, or you owe me because they were separate and they both did the damage. No, they're independently owned. The par and the vlad are independently owned. Because I'm tabe the bala para tchila. If he goes makes a claim against the bala para first, okay, dharma le the bala para para didach as a sin. Your para did damage to me. Havli raya didlach shutze. If you want to say that the vlad also helped out, you've got to bring me proof that the vlad helped out. Otherwise, we're going to assume that your para did the damage, and there's nothing to talk about over here. Ella the cousin. The problem is here. They went to tabe the bala vlad tchila. He went and asked the Balavad to get paid off first. You, by going to make a claim against the blood, indicated that you believed also that the blood was a partner, right, in doing the damage over here. So if that's the case, that you're going to have a partner, right, in the damage over here, you indicated that you can't make a claim to me that my part of me and I did the damage, and I can bring you proof. You brought me the proof already because you went and made a claim on the blood. See. Ikedam, right? There's some that say, I forgot to cut and tell me the Bala Parak, she loved Matsimi Dakhilay. Damalay, Mida Yate, the Shutvei, please. Right? Because he could say, you know, that I knew that you had a Shutvei, right? Even if the Bala Parak goes to Bala Parak, he could still say, listen, I know for certain that I have a partner over here, that there is another entity over here, and then if you want to take my money all from me, you're going to have to bring a Raya. Now, Amar Rav, what Rav says, wait, Asu Echad Mi Arba Benezek, Echad Mishmon Benezek Tani? That's not what the Mishnah says. Mishnah doesn't say a quarter and eight. It says Kati Nezek and Ravi Nezek Tani. El Amar Rava, the Olam, Vipara, Viplad the Chad. The Parah and Vlad were owned by a single individual. Vakramina, Ita the Parah, Mishtam Kati Nezek Mipara. The less of the Parah, Mishtam Ravi Nezek Miplad. Right? Because he says, basically, I think what you were indicating when I read the Mishnah is how I read it, that you owe Chati Nezek now. Chati Nezek for a short time comes me gufo. What happens if the parah's value or body is not worth the Chati Nezek? So if that's the case, you can go and make the claim out of the body of the blood. How much are you on the hook for out of the body of the blood? That's only up to the Rabbi Nezek. It's only up to the a portion, half of what it owes. Because it's Maman and Mutab Safek. Whereas the goof of the parah is on the hook for the entirety of the Chati Nezek. The goof of the blood will only be on the hook for up to a Revi'a Nezek, up to a quarter of the Nezek. He can't be on the hook for more than one quarter of the Nezek. Therefore, if you can get up to a quarter of the Nezek out of the parah, then you can make a claim for the other quarter of the Nezek out of the Vlad. On the other hand, if you can't get up to a half quarter of the Nezek by the parah, you're capped out on the Vlad of getting more than a quarter of the Nezek, and then you will get less than Chati Nezek. Okay, we'll stop over here.